It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
Those of you who have come to pick up orders here on the farm on the screen porch know the drill. You put your money in the plastic pineapple, make change as required, and leave on the table any items like empty egg cartons that may be reused. Occasionally, I find a surprise out there. This week, it was a plastic bag filled with a fine white substance. No, nobody was trading cocaine for veggies. It was a bag of Merhaba brand citric acid, also known as sour salt or lemon salt, with this note on the back: to keep the memories of our grandmothers alive, Carol. I knew exactly what this note referred to. The writer had ordered two bags of sorrel, telling me that she was hoping to recreate her grandmother's recipe for shav, a sorrel-based sour soup. When I was growing up, my family served shav as a chilled iced drink in a tall glass on hot summer days. I associate it with the long summers I spent at our family's bungalow colony in the heart of the Catskills Borscht Belt. To be honest, it took me some time to develop the taste for shav, in part because of its appearance. In the version made with egg, it somewhat resembles a murky swamp, a yellowish liquid with ribbons of what appears to be dark green seaweed swirling through it. However, as I grew older, I gained a far greater appreciation for the refreshing jolt a glass of shav provided on a hot afternoon, and saw the beauty in the mix of colors. I told Carol that back in graduate school, I'd asked my grandmother to let me watch her make shav and carefully recorded the process. But after a few years, I had lost the recipe. I tried many different recipes I found online until I ultimately landed on one which, to my mind, came closest to the taste of Grandma Sonia's, which I provided to Carol. But I recalled that in place of the lemon juice in that recipe, my grandmother had used citric acid, or sour salt, an item that I have increasing trouble finding in supermarkets as the years have worn on. Hence, Carol's gift of a bag of sour salt from Calustian's, a market in New York City. With that bag of sour salt and the memory of her shav lives a wealth of other memories of my grandma Sonia. Last August, I wrote a recollection, which I titled, Am I My Grandmother?, of my father's mother, Grandma Eva, the intellectual, a lousy cook and housekeeper who spent endless hours puttering alone in her garden. My mother's mother, Grandma Sonia, was her polar opposite, the embodiment of homemaking and an excellent cook. As much as I dreaded visiting Grandma Eva, I relished time with Grandma Sonia. Grandma Eva thought one should live the life of the mind and expressed her disgust when I quit graduate school to go to law school, which she considered dirty commerce. Grandma Sonia, ever the practical one, was in contrast relieved that I might actually make some money. At one point, when I was studying anthropology and my brother Howard was studying geology, Grandma Sonia described our endeavors to friends with puzzled disdain in this little rhyme, and you'll have to pardon my mangled Yiddish transliteration here. Eine mit de Steine, die andere mit de Beine. One is with the stones, the other with the bones. Virtually all my recollections of Grandma Sonia are food-related. One of the earliest, brought to mind whenever I hear the insect choruses of August, was of accompanying her to a field near the lake at the bungalow colony, where wild blueberries, she called them huckleberries, grew. She and I went alone, carrying large white enamel cooking pots. It seemed to me we were out there for a couple of hours. I must have been 6 years old, and it's the first time I can remember being conscious of excessive heat. We filled the pots to brimming with the blueberries, and dinner that night, as it often was on really hot summer nights, was entirely just a bowl of blueberries and sour cream. Born in 1899 in what is now the Ukraine, Grandma Sonia's family had a fruit and vegetable stand in Odessa before pogroms sent them to Warsaw and eventually New York. Perhaps it was that background which in part explained the simplicity of her cooking, even as compared with others in the very simple Jewish cooking tradition. She was a demanding shopper, and she let her ingredients shine through without a lot of gussying up. You could say she was ahead of her time in that respect. I craved her plain cookies, just dusted with cinnamon and a little sugar. My mother was never quite able to match the richness of Grandma Sonia's boiled chicken dinner, and her cabbage borscht really stuck to the richness of the beef-based stock and the shreds of brisket within. Again, something it took me a long time to appreciate. When I was young, I much preferred my Aunt Jenny's sweeter version with raisins. Despite the food retailing in her background, Grandma Sonia was unenthused about being involved in food production. She stopped eating chicken, the ones that she actually prepared weekly during the summer in the country, because while she was fine buying chickens hanging in the butcher's window in the city, she couldn't stand watching the chickens being slaughtered in the country when she bought them. When Peter and I bought the farm, she asked, "What do you want to do that for?" She nevertheless fully appreciated our steady supply of sorrel, which over time became harder to find in markets. Grandma Sonia lived to 100, her last years living with my parents, and cooking almost all the way to the end. Perhaps she found what Eric tells me the Japanese would call her ikigai. As reflected in my trying to preserve her shav recipe, in her later years we began to recognize that our beloved recipes would die with her, and we made efforts to record our favorites. But recipes will inevitably evolve as they form a chain from generation to generation. Rather than the precise proportions of ingredients, maybe what's important to recall is that feeding one's family with care is an act of love, and recreating the recipe is an act of remembrance.
Agriculture is underwritten by Takana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.